First reading is from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. The Israelites left Mount Hor by the road that leads to the Gulf of Aqaba in order to go around the territory of Edom. But on the way, the people lost their patience and spoke against God and Moses. They complained, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in this desert where there is no food or water? We can't stand any more of this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many Israelites were bitten and died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Now pray to the Lord to take these snakes away." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told Moses to make a metal snake and put it on a pole so that anyone who was bitten could look at it and be healed. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who had been bitten would look at this bronze snake and be healed.
And I'm reading from John 3, verses 1 to 21. And this is called Jesus and Nicodemus. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." Jesus answered, "I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." "How can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I am telling you the truth," replied Jesus. "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. It's like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this? I'm telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen, yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its saviour. Those who believe in the Son are not judged, but those who do not believe have already been judged, because they have not believed in God's only Son. This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, that people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. All those who do evil things hate the light and will not come to the light, because they do not want their evil deeds to be shown up. But those who do what is true come to the light in order that the light may show that what they did was in obedience to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Loving God, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for your love for us. And we pray that this evening we would have open hearts and minds to allow your Spirit to speak to us, that we might know you more, that we might love you more, that we might serve you more. In Jesus' name, Amen. As some of you will be aware, this morning I wasn't here. I was down in Worthing. I had the privilege of travelling to Broadwater Baptist Church to go and speak there, to the church there, because Daisy was being baptised. Some of you might know Daisy. She came to us as part of an Alpha course, and through the Alpha course she came in to join the church. She tended to come more in the morning than she did in the evening. She got to know people here, she joined a small group, and she made friends here, and she was exploring Christianity with us, and she came to know Jesus as part of her time with us. And then all of a sudden, her job moved, and she had to go and travel down to Worthing, where she was going to set up a new home, because that's where her work was. So she moved really quickly, and we managed to connect her with a church in Worthing called Broadwater Baptist Church. And Daisy has continued on her journey of faith, and this morning she was being baptised. So it was a great time to be down there. It wasn't just me. Nikki and Dave were there, and John and Ruth Blake were there, and we were there to support Daisy and to share with her. And for me, that's one of the privileges of being a minister, in being able to walk with people in their journey of faith. I love hearing about people. I love hearing their stories. I love hearing about what's happened, about what is happening at the moment, about what might happen in the future. And it is one of the highlights for me of being able to meet up with people, usually over a cup of coffee, and just sit and chat and listen and hear about what is happening and what God is doing in their lives. And I don't think I'm unusual in liking to know the stories of people, because I think generally people are interested in people. People are interested in the stories of others' lives. They want to look at how they behave. They want to know what they wear. They want to see the consequences of their actions. And we see that to be true in the success of many of our television programmes. Now, personally, I'm not really interested in what happened in the Big Brother house. But millions of people are interested. And Big Brother is successful because people are interested in what's going on in that house. Neither am I really interested in Steve and Tracy's relationship in Coronation Street. But hundreds of people are. Now, I confess, if I'm interested in anything, I'm interested in the goings-on of Summer Bay. But that's a rare thing, because I'm not normally home in time to watch it. But soaps and reality shows are only successful because people are interested in people. And it's not just television. The same could probably be said about most of our magazines and most of our newspapers and even the books that we read. Think about that day that Kate Middleton wore an outfit from a high street retailer. And within days, if not within hours, that outfit had sold out, because people were interested in what she was wearing. Now, this isn't a new concept that only appeared since the world of television or even since the printing press. In fact, I would dare to suggest that this interest in people goes back to the beginning of time. Because we are created by a God who is interested in people. And since we are made in his image, we are also made for relationship, both with other people and with God. The Bible is one big story of God's love for people and how God interacts with them. And we know that God is as interested in people today as he was from the very beginning of time. That's one reason why baptism services are so exciting, because we hear a little bit of people's stories of where they are, how they came to meet Jesus. But I'd like us to consider for a few moments this evening one particular encounter that one individual had with God, as we look at what we can learn from this meeting that Nicodemus had with Jesus. We discovered from our reading from John's Gospel that Nicodemus was a Jewish leader from the Pharisees. He was an educated and religious man, one who taught others, and one who would have been intent in upholding the law according to the scriptures. And yet he came seeking Jesus, looking for answers, trying to find out the truth. Now, it's quite possible that his fellow teachers would not have been too impressed with Nicodemus wanting to meet up with Jesus. And so perhaps that's why he came at night, so that he could get a few quiet moments without anybody else knowing. But there's probably another reason too why John takes the trouble to let us know that Nicodemus visited Jesus at night. You see, the darkness that surrounded him was also a symbol of where Nicodemus was spiritually. Despite his knowledge of scriptures, despite his great education, Nicodemus was still in the dark about the truth of Jesus. And so he sought Jesus out, hoping to make sense of what he'd seen and of what he already knew. What Nicodemus appears to have discovered is that there was so much more that he didn't know. As far as he was concerned, he'd been born into the right family. He was well respected as a teacher. He upheld the law to the letter. Now, as such, he thought he would have been granted access to the kingdom of God. And yet, what Jesus tells him is that even with these seemingly top credentials, Nicodemus is still lacking something. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again, Jesus tells him. Now, not, of course, born again physically, but born spiritually, accepting new life from God. And this new life, this new spiritual life, is available for everyone. In fact, it's necessary for everyone. Now, just to confirm it, Jesus says some words that are probably now the most famous verse in the Bible. In verse 16, Jesus says, "For God loved the world so much." And there was a revelation to Nicodemus. God was interested in the whole world. In fact, God was more than interested. God loves the whole world. God isn't only concerned about the people that are born into religious families. He isn't just concerned with those that seek to uphold his values. He's not only interested in those who are respectable members of the community. God loves everyone. And for Nicodemus, that would have come as quite a surprise. You see, he thought he was okay because of who he was. For him, being part of God's kingdom was all about what he did and a lot less to do with what God did for him. And just as he thought he was okay because of who he was, so he thought others wouldn't be accepted by God because of who they were, because they weren't like him. Now, I'm not sure what Nicodemus was expecting when he came to see Jesus that night, but I'm pretty sure that he'd be very surprised by what he'd heard. And yet what Jesus said to Nicodemus is true for every one of us today. God loves everyone, and that includes you. And perhaps today you might think, I'm not into all that kind of religious stuff. Or perhaps, like Nicodemus, you think, actually, I'm doing okay as I am. I'm quite good, and I don't really need Jesus. Or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you think, I see that Jesus, and I know he's a good guy, but I know the truth about me, and I know I'm not good enough, and I don't think Jesus would want much to do with me. Well, I've got news for you, because God loves you too, and he cares about the tiniest detail of your life. And just like Nicodemus, he longs for you to have a new spiritual life so that you can share in his kingdom too. The love of God reaches out to everyone in the world. That includes you, and that includes the people who are not like you. The ones who have different lifestyles or attitudes or behave in different ways. God's love is so strong that he wants them to receive new life too, so that they can share in his kingdom. Now, just now we played that song by Julian Lennon, and he sung, "I'm looking for love, but I'm looking in all the wrong places." To my knowledge, Julian Lennon is not a Christian, but what he's doing is expressing something not only of how he feels, but of how many people feel today. I believe what he's singing is true. People everywhere are looking for love. Let's face it, love is one of the most basic needs that human beings have. And people are searching in all kinds of ways to find love. And yet the only way that need can be truly met is through the love of Jesus. And that's why we as a church have chosen to embark on this course called Looking for Love, so that we can begin to understand more about God's love for us, and so that we can share that love with others. Like many people today, Nicodemus went to see Jesus that night because he was searching. He wanted answers, explanations. He wanted to know the truth. And when he met Jesus, he heard the truth of God's love for us. And he heard that God showed us the depth of his love through the sacrifice of his only son. In verse 14, Jesus alluded to what was going to happen to him by referring to a story that would have been very familiar to Nicodemus. It was the other reading that we had, the one from Numbers. A plague of snakes had been sent to punish the people of Israel. Many people were bitten, people were dying because of the snake bites, and so the people cried out to Moses to help them. And God told Moses to make a bronze snake and to put the snake on a pole and to raise it high above the people. And he said if the people looked at the snake, then they would be healed. Now, in referring to the snake being lifted up, Jesus was referring to the fact that he would be lifted up onto the cross to die, and that he would then be raised to life again, and through his death and his resurrection, the world could be saved from the death that awaited them, and they could receive eternal life forever with God. That is the depth of God's love for us. Again, looking at that well-known verse, Jesus said, "God loved the world so much that he gave his only son." The words are so familiar, it's hard to grasp the power of that love. God went so far to give up his only son so that we might have life with him. There is nothing more precious that he could have given. And he gave it for you. Sometimes, like Nicodemus, we need to understand that God's love for us is not earned. There's nothing we can do to make him love us more. And the new life we receive is not all about our actions. It's about what Jesus did in his sacrifice for us. As we reflect on those truths, I'd like to share a story with you. A young boy spent many hours building a little sailboat, and he crafted it down to the finest detail. He loved his boat, and after all his hours of hard work, the boat was finally finished. And so he took it to a nearby river to sail it. He was excited as he bent over to the bank, and he leant in and he dropped his sailboat into the river. But when he put it in, the boat moved quickly away from him. The little boy jumped up and he ran along the side of the bank, chasing the boat, trying to catch it. But the strong wind and the current carried the boat away. Eventually, it had long gone, and he just couldn't catch it. The little boy was heartbroken, and he went home really sad. But further down the river, there was a man who saw the boat, and he picked it out of the river, and he took it into town, and he sold it to a shopkeeper. Now, the next day, the little boy was walking through the town, and suddenly he looked up, and there was his little boat sitting in the shop window. And he ran inside, and he spoke to the shopkeeper, and he said, "That's my boat." And the shopkeeper picked up the boat and took it to the little boy, and the little boy pointed out all the little marks that he'd made on it as he made it. And even though he could see that, the shopkeeper said, "It might have been your boat, but it's my boat now. And if you really want that boat, you'll have to buy it, because it's for sale." So the little boy went home, and he loved that boat so much, he decided that's what he would do. So he tipped out his piggy bank, counted up his pocket money, spent the next couple of days doing some more jobs, earning enough, and then a couple of days later, he went with his money and he went into the shop. And he handed over the money and the shopkeeper gave him back his little boat. And he held it up and as he looked at it, he said, "Little boat, now you are twice mine. I made you and I bought you." And in the same way, I truly believe we are twice God's. We are God's because he made us. He created each one of us and designed us to be who we are. But like the little boat, we've been carried away by the current and we've lost sight of our maker. But God loves us so much that he brought us back again. And the cost to God wasn't some pocket money. It was the death of his only son. So now we are twice God's. He made us and he bought us. But what does that mean for us today? Well, let's return once more to those familiar words in verse 16. Jesus said, "God loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Just as the Israelites had to look at the snake on the pole in order to be saved, so we need to look to Jesus, to believe that he's the Son of God, that he died to save us, and to trust in him for the rest of our lives. What Jesus was saying to Nicodemus is that the new life he needed to receive through being born again spiritually is not gained by who he was or by what he was doing. It was only gained by trusting in Jesus. And the same is true for us today. In order for us to receive this new life, we need to trust Jesus with the whole of our lives. And when we do, the new life we receive starts from that very moment. You see, the message of God's love is not just about a ticket to heaven. It's about a new way of life, and that impacts our attitudes, our actions, and our motivation. It's only when we begin to understand God's love for us that we can begin to let it transform us and let it impact how we live, how we treat other people, how we react to situations. Just as a physical birth denotes the start of a new life for a baby, so being born again denotes the start of a new life for the believer. So Jesus' message to Nicodemus wasn't just about a new birth. It wasn't about one event, one experience. It was about a whole new life ahead of him. The question is, will you trust Jesus with the whole of your life and allow him to transform you and impact the way that you live? If you've never trusted Jesus, is today the moment that you recognise the love he has for you and you choose to trust him? Or perhaps you've believed in him before, but can you say that you are really trusting him with everything in life at this time? and that you are sharing his abundant love and compassion with others as you live every moment to follow him. Perhaps one way to think about that question is to consider what answer you would give if someone asked you, what difference does it make to you that you know Jesus? What difference does it make to you that you know Jesus? When Nicodemus met with Jesus, he arrived in the dark. The sad thing in this story is we never hear how he left. Now, Nicodemus does appear in a couple of other encounters in the Bible. So maybe the truth of Jesus' words did impact him that night after all. But we don't hear about him joining the disciples and being part of a lot of the other events in Jesus' life. So it could be that Nicodemus met Jesus in the dark and still left in the dark. Perhaps what's more important today is that we make sure that we aren't leaving in the spiritual dark. That we grasp all that we can of what it means to be loved by God. The God whose love cost him the life of his son. And that we trust in him and receive the new life that he wants us to have. That he wants us to enjoy. And at the same time that he wants us to be able to use to share his love with other people. Let's take a few moments to pause in silence to reflect on God's word to us, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your amazing love for us. And we recognise that it's easy to say that you love us, but it's a lot harder to understand the depth of your love for us. Thank you that tonight, whoever we are, you love us. And I pray for each one of us that you would help us to trust in you with the whole of our lives, that you would enable us to grasp what it means to be loved by the living God, that you would transform us and equip us to share your love with a world that is looking for love. Lord, help us as we continue to look at this topic in the week ahead. Challenge us. Inspire us, encourage us, and help us as we receive your love more to share it with those that we know. In Jesus' name, amen.